you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
We decided to file a lawsuit, and we actually got six designers together.
Including Linda Baca, otherwise known as Rebel Hope. Shannon Gray, otherwise known as Munchflower Zayas. Michael Hester, otherwise known as Doc Eldridge. Casey Lewis, otherwise known as Nephilane Protagonist. And Kevin Alderman, otherwise known as Stroker Serpentine.
Hi, I'm George Chen, and this is SupDoc, where we discuss documentaries with our guests, comedians, writers, musicians, personalities, if you would. This episode, I recorded in Minneapolis with two guests, comedians Raina May and Shelley Paul. We met up after watching Life 2.0, Jason Spingarnkoff's 2010 documentary about the immersive video game world of Second Life. This film is pretty dark and gets into some uncomfortable topics, so trigger warning for discussions of abuse. It's also a cringe-inducing dip into a subculture filled with ridiculous visuals and insane character names. Life 2.0 is available for streaming on Netflix. Raina May and Shelley Paul have both been named Comics to Watch by Growler Magazine. They've both won the House of Comedy's Funniest Person with a Day Job competition and will also both be at the 10,000 Laughs Festival in Twin Cities this October. And now here's my talk with Raina and Shelley. I am here in Northeast Minneapolis, and we're going to talk about the movie Life 2.0, 2010, Jason Spingarnkoff. It's on Netflix, which is why we're talking about it. And here are my guests today. We are in the home of Shelley Paul. Hi.
Hello.
And Raina May.
Yay.
Not home, but...
I don't live here.
Yes, but...
I live in this part of town.
Yeah. And you guys were very gracious to have me on both of your shows you run.
Of course,
yeah. Murder Room and Pussy Control, fun times in Minneapolis. If you are ever out here, go to those shows.
Yeah, yay. Come to them. You might not get booked, but come anyway.
Oh, yeah. Not everyone who listens is a comedian, I hope. That's what my hope is. It's not exclusively a comedian audience, but...
Oh, yeah. That's the best kind.
Yeah. I mean, if it was, it would still be, you know, thought leaders. You know, we call them thought leaders.
I don't say that. Do you say that? Shelley, have you ever said thought leader?
I haven't, but I feel like I could now. You know, yeah. I might use
I've
it.
Opened the gate.
Yeah, thought leaders.
But yours, if you said it, it would be like... THOT leader.
That hoe over there, is that thought? That's what I was.
Yes.
I've Googled it. It's a lot of me just urban dictionarying things.
Yeah.
I had to. Oh, that's a good way to get into this. I didn't realize griefing is an actual gamer term. Did you guys
know
that? Oh, is
it? No, I assumed it was like a Canadian thing. Just the way it was like, you're griefing me right now.
Griefing A.
Yeah. I assumed it was a Canadian thing.
Oh, man. Well, actually, I was just in Calgary is a funny enough thing. Okay, so just to like backtrack on what we were talking about, Life 2.0, you've probably seen it, or you know what? Or we're going to explain it in a way where you never have to see it. That's basically what we're going to do.
Yeah, all the spoilers.
You don't need to see this thing, right?
Uh-uh.
But we did, and it was like, would you say exploitative?
That is a great question. I don't know if it's I guess that depends on your definition of exploitative. Like, I think some of the participants in the documentary maybe didn't understand how much of their
face,
how much of their subconscious would be explored through their Second Life characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once that became really apparent, then it seemed like exploitative. It's like, they were thinking like, maybe I don't know. Maybe they were thinking like, oh, they just want to do a documentary on the character I play. But it's like, no, it's about you. Way about you.
Yeah.
It's like Intervention where they're like, it's just a documentary about addiction. It's like, no, we're going to like uproot your whole life, bitch. Like,
yeah. Yeah, really. I mean, they signed release forms and stuff. But like, okay, so Second Life, just the general explanation, if you're not familiar, it's like this multiplayer. It's not really a game. There's no goal to the game. The game goal, I guess, is to make money for the Linden Corporation. But it is like, I guess it's like kind of like the OG Westworld. Or I guess Westworld is the OG Second Life. I don't
that
know.
That is a terrible explanation.
You don't think so? It's
I'm not familiar with Westworld. So I don't. It went right over my head.
Yeah, Westworld, it's like the idea there's like a virtual space where you can just like kind of have no rules and do whatever your id wants to do, but you have to sort of like live by whatever the rules of society are, and those are sort of created by the people, but also by the corporation, the Linden Corp.
It's a video game where there's no point.
I thought Westworld was a TV show.
Yeah, that's why I said it was a terrible comparison.
Oh, I mean, not like the idea of Westworld, which is like another like a theme park where you can just murder robots all the time.
Oh, word. Okay.
I mean, to me, it seems like the point of Second Life is to meet people that you wouldn't meet in First Life.
Mm-hmm. Which is just like the regular internet, though.
Uh-huh.
Kind of, but you get to build like a house and you're... avatar can be significantly thinner than you are in real life, which
and
like
that
I
is
get
pretty much what every yeah that I was definitely gonna bring that up at some point.
I mean I don't think I saw any fat avatars. Can you even make them fat? You know, sometimes you play a video game and you're like, I want to make this look like myself, but like it only gets so fat, and I'm like, this is insulting. And like the quote unquote fat avatar is like, yeah, you know, an average sized person.
Right. No, I was thinking about that too because of Azri Falcone, like one of the characters, that was her Second Life character. I don't really remember her regular name.
It's like, I wrote down like Tisa or Tisa or something.
Okay.
Like
that was my aunt's cat's name. Tisa.
So you think you would remember? Yeah. Would you hate that cat or something?
They never even said her real name, did they? I don't know.
I don't remember.
I thought it was funny that her and all her friends that met up in the scene in Vegas, mm-hmm. they all their avatars were young punk girl, like young hip looking people. And when they met up, they were all like over 40 and like, you know, plus size fat women. And they were all playing these characters that were like 20 and little. It was crazy.
Yeah. No, well, everyone's inside is a 20 something, right? That's everyone still thinks
that's what everyone wants to be. You know what I mean?
That's the aspiration.
Then. Unless you're the other character who wanted to be 11.
Right. Yeah. So this documentary basically follows like three sets of people, four people mostly that are in that, two of which we start off with finding out they're involved with each other. They met in Second Life, but their real lives are, they're, you know, married people that are having kind of an emotional affair online. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's just like how it starts. I'm like, you hooked me. You got me in.
Yeah. I was like, this is about to go very badly.
They pretty much look like their avatars.
They actually looked a lot like their.
They were just like, between them and their avatars, it was like a bad 80s movie where like the nerdy girl gets hot by taking off her glasses. Mm-hmm. That was like the difference between them and their avatars. Mm-hmm.
Which one was the glasses version?
They both kind of were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The names of those people are Amy Good. We never find out their real life names, except for like the dude is named Steven, but his dumbest name, Bluntly Burblinger.
Oh, that's right.
Honestly, I was like, why is every single person, I guess Amy Good isn't that weird, but like all the like other avatars they mentioned had like super weird names. And I was like, is this part of it that you have to have like a.
Yeah.
It is part of it, but like.
I like Azri Falcone. That's a pretty dope name. I mean, that's like a comedy name. That's like a comedian's name.
That's true.
I mean, Azri Falcone was the only one with a cool name, but she is also the only woman of color. Mm-hmm. Like the rest of them were just like white people choosing weird, dumb like names that seem like they were from a romance novel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a few. I wrote down some of the great names from the class action lawsuit that comes up a little bit later. Basically, Azri Falcone's. Let's try to explain like what her job is. Like, I don't quite understand. She claims she made like six figures in real money because there's like Lindens are like what, like a nickel or something to a dollar. They're not worth that much. Like, there are people buying and selling houses for like $8 US.
Right.
But actually, probably it was harder for. We got to give Bluntly Berbelinger some credit because the Canadian dollar is lower than the American dollar. Like the amount of Lindens he had to make was much more than his American counterparts. So she builds stuff. She like makes like houses and like
shoes, clothes.
She has like a fashion
bodies
design.
Something.
Some skin, like skin cream for your weird digital skin.
I don't think she was making skin cream. I think she was making skin.
Oh,
yeah, like skin. Like it looked like you'd just buy it and then your character would have that.
I wish they would have got it. Skin. See, that's why I
didn't realize that.
I know, but they didn't really go into it. They just showed like pictures.
Because I don't know if like in
briefly.
The game your default is white or what your default is. And they didn't really get into it, but she's basically selling skin colors from what I could observe.
Man.
Right. I think that it had to also do with like the shading or something. Like maybe if you would just buy it, it's just like a flat tone. And then hers has like highlights and
like
contouring. Yeah.
But, I mean, the way that they got into like the one guy playing 11-year-old girl, I was like, and now are they also going to get into her selling different skin colors for people who, you know, the Rachel Dolezals of Second Life.
Yeah, was there a Rachel Dolezal in there? They easily could have been. Because it seemed like there was a lot of gender switching stuff going on there. Which is kind of what that character, the 11-year-old avatar and the white man in his like 20s from Walnut Creek. They're just known as Aya. We don't really know his name. But I was convinced it was just going to be at the end. He's just going to come out as trans. That's what I thought.
That's
was going
to
happen.
That's what I thought it was building up to too. Yeah.
In 2010 as a documentary, I thought that was been like the big mic
reveal.
Drop.
The big reveal.
But it's more disturbing. I mean, not that the other way is disturbing. This is just like what ends up happening is disturbing. Is this where we place the trigger warnings? I don't know where we put the trigger warnings.
Oh, should have
been at the beginning.
Maybe.
Should have been in the beginning.
Yeah.
We can get more into that character
definitely
later.
A trigger warning coming up. We're going to mention child sexual abuse.
Yeah. Also like role playing as like a suicide bomber. Also a weird act out.
Oh my God. And how he was just like, the most disturbing part to me is that he was always talking about it as it was just her. Yeah. Like he had nothing to do with it. She
just,
the avatar decided do this and he had no control over it. And I was like,
The avatar at one point also like he was talking about it like, well, she decided, she spoke to me, she said this.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, it's not that different than people that talk about Jesus sometimes, I guess.
I guess. That's a good point.
Did you know anyone who ever played any of these games? Did you know people?
Yeah.
Not that admitted it to me.
Yeah. But Shelly, you did?
I did for sure. But nobody that was like, you know, spending like 14 hours a day doing it or anything. It was just kind of like whatever fun thing.
Do you ever
I
like?
I'm not even as obsessed with it.
You don't like watch over the shoulder. They just describe it or anything. Or no, you just kind of like knew they did it. It's
just
like
kind of knew they did it. I never like watched over the shoulder. But I also played games like, I don't know, like I guess Neopets isn't like exactly the same thing, but it's an online like community where you have your own like. It was more like the daughter's game where she plays like the penguins.
Oh, right,
thing.
Yeah.
Like a lighter version, not quite like, you know.
Yeah, I was remembering, I think I was telling you this, that I used to go into this thing called Turntable FM, which was like basically like different rooms where people like kind of just had playlists of music.
Yeah,
and then
I
just
that.
Different. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
There'd be like an avatar, like you'd pick an avatar, like I'm like a monkey with like a baseball hat or something. And then they're just like, oh, I'm just going in this room and it's going to be playing like Outkast or something. And then just you see all these little cartoons bobbing along. That there were scenes in this that reminded me of that. But then I started thinking about like, I think that thing got shut down because of like copyright violations.
Oh,
because just playing the music.
Assume.
I'm like, how did he even get the rights to play these songs in the documentary. That's like usually like the big deal breaker for a lot of documentaries even getting distributed is like music rights and stuff. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but I was like, okay, I guess I've been in this situation. I'm trying not to judge so hard because I feel like I have a rep now, especially from doing the show, being like the judgy guy. Like I'm just going, I'm judging everyone in
these
this documentary.
People are dumb.
You know, like
you're
what's
not
up
one.
With these furries or whatever, you know, like
you're
basically
not the one making the documentary. You don't have to remain neutral and unbiased.
I mean, well, I mean, like, is this, yeah, like I do feel like the angle of this documentary does seem like it's picking the most like extreme, like, you know, salacious things to pick, like absolutely. A couple having an affair, someone who's like pretending to be an 11-year-old girl, like mm-hmm. which
I'd love to hear about their research process and finding these characters.
Right.
Right.
Not like just a normal person who's like, well, I have a therapy practice inside of Second Life, right? Mm-hmm. I just like talk to everyone as a therapist, you know, but it's much cheaper than real life therapy. Like the mm-hmm. Lindens. It's like, if you could go to a therapist for about like 8 cents, that'd be great.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
And then just have the like headsets and like, I'm like, I'm using a voice modulator cause I can't be myself. You know?
Did Second Life go out of business?
No.
It's still there?
They're still there.
It's still there.
Yeah.
And can you get health insurance on your character in Second Life?
Not if there's a suicide bomber running around. But no, like it's like apparently there's under 1 million active users now. They laid off a bunch of people in 2010. I don't know. This documentary came out in 2010. Are they connected?
Yeah.
I would think maybe. But it seems like just like a lot of, they had to do some like changes to their user licenses because of like that lawsuit where basically, okay, we're jumping around a lot. There's the only kind of relatable protagonist I think is Azri Falcone.
Yeah.
Like she's sort of like a cool lady who just like gamed the system in a game. Like mm-hmm. she figured out how to make real life money, but she's really spending time like making things mm-hmm. in that world, which I also don't understand. I'm like, I guess you could just take that and like now be like someone who does like 3D printing or something. You know, mm-hmm. you probably could like figure out how to transfer that skill. You know how to make stuff in this virtual
space.
Or just
like video game designer in the thing. She does do like a digital design of like the Las Vegas Strip or whatever. Like there's real life applications for that kind of skill. And
she
stuff,
got paid by Microsoft, I guess, to replicate all that. Yeah. Like when I saw like the sphinxes.
And it looked good.
Yeah. She like built a sphinx out of weird oblong, mm-hmm. like, you know, oval egg shapes. So she figured out how to do it.
Right.
Yeah. That's she great. Really figured it out. But she gets kind of screwed at one point. Like she's making her whole income from doing this. And someone figured out, I am kind of like into the fact that someone did figure out how to scam this thing. Like every time it reboots, there is sometimes duplicates of objects. So they just
swipe them.
Yeah. I guess it's like, it is like a scam that someone figured out. It's basically like you have like an inventory. I didn't really figure out how this works, but like there's sort of like a lot to do with hoarding, I think, in this documentary too. It's sort of like a prequel to Hoarders or, you know, I guess there's like a virtual inventory you have. So you just drag it out when it's like when the system crashes, it just creates duplicates. So someone figured out how to like sell all those on a secondary market inside of Second Life. This is so insane. I think it's weird that like you have the opportunity to basically recreate reality and it's just like, it's just basically hyper-capitalism.
Right.
Yeah.
Like no one tried to do something different within mm-hmm. it. Maybe because they need to sell Lindens. I don't know.
I thought I thought the like weird simulated sex scene between Amy and Steve was so cheesy and so fucking funny.
It just, yeah, like they're like phasing through each other the whole time.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, what's wrong with like FaceTiming or like phone sex or computers that you like have to like have a character that doesn't even really look like you naked in a pond? I don't know what's happening.
Well, I think a giveaway in that was like they go to some Utopia Island and she can't fly and she's like, what the fuck? I gotta walk like a normal.
I gotta walk.
I
can't fly.
I can't fucking fly here. I think that's part of it. It's like you have that Superman Lois Lane fetish or something. I mean, yeah, like we are all of a generation where you do everything online, right? Like you just started to do, like when I think like the dating apps came out, it's like, okay, then there is now a game element to everything. Like they're sort of like, we gamified everything. So, I mean, there's a degree to this is like, I don't think I'd want to join it now because it's like the worlds have been around for so long. I mean, this world, the Second Life world. Yeah. And like, I'm like, I can't spend more. I already spend so much of my time doing bullshit online. Mm-hmm, like, I feel like being on Twitter is like, you know, you could just be like an egg and just say whatever the fuck you want in that way. But I feel like we are all like people that use the internet for like things that we think we're doing in real life. But then I'm like, am I just collecting points anyway? I'm just like, I did this thing, like it. I'm, you know, the same like addiction things, like the dopamine must be like the same, oh, you know, man, it's just like slightly different skins, slightly different uncanny valley skins on what our regular lives are like.
And being, you can kill yourself a lot easier in Second Life.
Yes. And you can not take people with you apparently. Yeah. Like the damage is, I mean, even the guy who founded it, this guy, Philip Rosedale, I mean, he gets interviewed a couple times. And he's
like,
he didn't have a lot. He doesn't seem like he hangs out there really even. I mean, he was like the CEO. He might still be like on the board or something, but he just says like, you know what? It's better than physical society. Duh. There's less violence. And then like, it's, you know, you could be emotionally abused on this platform. I'm like, I think we've proven that. This is kind of like early. This is like, I don't know. The things that remind me of are like Westworld and Black Mirror, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Very, okay. Very Black Mirror. Mm-hmm. I've just started watching that show a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I suppose like you're removing a lot of the like hindrances to like doing violence or committing crimes in Second Life. So people are going to be. But it's, oh God, so dumb.
I don't know. I feel if I had that kind of access to internet that you need to get really involved with this game, like when I was, you know, like say 13, 14 years old or something, like, oh man, I would have been all in it. I would have been fully.
I feel like you have a name picked
Second
out.
Second Life.
Or you have like some outfits that you would have figured out.
Oh yeah. I mean, when I was looking at their outfits, I was like, these outfits are ugly. Like my character would look so much better. I love making avatars of myself. I do. Like when I played Rock Band, my character looked so much like me.
My character for, or my avatar for, what's the game where you capture the stuff?
Pokemon.
Thank you. Pokemon.
You mean like the Pokemon Go or like a different thing?
Pokemon Go.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Pokemon
Go. I never did. You
can't. Mine is named Shelley Paul.
I feel like I was worried that your voices are going to sound too similar slightly. Yeah. When I saw you guys, because you duo host this show, Pussy Control, I'm like, oh man, it's going to be like very subtle to figure out who's new.
Nobody's going to know who's talking, and it'll be just like real life.
Yeah.
Do you guys do a lot? I mean, do you guys do a lot of things together in general?
No.
No, just like run a show.
No, we produce two shows.
Yeah,
together.
We produce two shows together, but it's not like. Yeah.
But we're not, but aside from that, we're not often on the same lineups or whatever, but that doesn't stop people from thinking that we are the same person
constantly. I mean,
listeners can't see, but we look exactly the same.
Yeah, we'll take a photo.
Shelly used to have long green hair and I had short pink hair. That didn't stop people. The fact that Shelly's 11 years younger than me, that didn't stop people.
Didn't stop people.
The fact that now there's like a 50 pound weight difference between us, that
still
doesn't
stop people. Got some. You have blue eyes. I have brown eyes.
Yep.
The list.
You have eyebrows.
Bitch, I paint these on, okay? You could have eyebrows,
I've
too.
Never worn pants. You wear pants every day.
That's true.
Day.
That is very true.
I should verify this is all true because for the listeners, they're not getting the visuals of any of this. It's all true. They're the same person. This is basically, this is a double book. It's like, oh man, I really wanted you guys to do Three Identical Strangers, but we're going to have to, that's going to have to be another time because it just came out today in Minneapolis. But
it comes out in actually 15 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
For the first showing.
If you guys don't have anything to do after this, I highly recommend. Yeah. It's also weirdly traumatic. A lot of very traumatizing stuff happens.
I already I already blocked somebody in Minneapolis for posting a spoiler.
For that?
Yeah. Maggie Ferris posted a status like, has anyone seen it yet? And I was like, it doesn't come out until 2:45 today.
And then she just spoiled it?
No, she didn't do it. Oh. This other dude comedian who's whatever. Said like, here's a spoiler, and then I just blocked him.
Wow.
Well, they're not allowed on this show.
Oh, that's okay.
I don't even know who it is.
I don't think he knows what a podcast is anyways.
Does anyone know? It's I feel like I spend all my second lifetime just doing like web updates and stuff for this podcast. Like, oh, we have to make a meme. Oh, I have to do an Instagram. But I do feel like it's another job that doesn't pay. It's just doing that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I also work at home. So do I. And so you can easily, this the whole thing of like, they're making money in their pajamas. I'm like, yeah, that's just like the gig economy. That's just like how life works now. It's just like, they were a little bit early. This is like 10 years ago.
Right.
But I'm not against six figures, you know.
I know, I'm saying.
I mean, I really
admire.
Yeah, but
you have to stay up all night.
Yeah. She has a hustle, though. She really, Azri Falcone's like a good hustler.
Oh, yeah.
She really figured it out.
But she like rents out her mom's basement.
I don't, does she even pay rent? I was wondering if she made six figures. I feel like she should have like helped her. I just felt like they were all had like health issues. Like they're like, we love mom's cooking. I'm like, I feel like there's something up with mom's cooking. It's like, not, it's very carby. She's just like letting the pasta soak too long.
That pasta wasn't even close to done. What are you talking about?
It was not al dente for sure. Oh, and they're all having health problems. I felt kind of bad for that part of it. But then that was like, even like the New York Times pointed that out in this documentary. It's like, they obviously just like cut from Azri Falcone, her like very svelte character avatar, mm-hmm. to like this woman in her basement, like smoking cigarettes mm-hmm. in her pajamas. And just like, it's just like the New York Times was calling this out for being kind of like shitty about body image stuff. Like you were saying earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was also interesting to see like what people thought was acceptable or like nobody on the show had their own like body positivity sort of. They are like all of their like avatars were what they thought of as pretty or acceptable mm-hmm. or beautiful. Like none of the people in the first life people had an idea of like body positivity or anything like that, or else they would have maybe like transferred some of those characteristics into their avatar.
Well, I mean, you can't have a tail in real life. That's one thing you can't have. Apparently Aya had a tail. There was a guy who I think was hanging out with Aya when Aya sort of self-deletes, where it's like, I think he had like a skunk man. He was kind of like a buff skunk man. It did seem to kind of blend into like furry territory a lot of the time.
Yeah, there was a couple. I saw a couple. There's like a wolf man at the club.
Mm-hmm.
Just anyone who would hang out with Aya, I was like immediately suspicious of.
Yeah, apparently Aya had like a sibling in that. What was the name of that person? Snoopy Pfeffer?
Yeah.
Like the German who's like, I'm also a man in regular life who avatars as a little girl. So
right. And we found sure each other. That I was
like, you're
a
also
little
German.
Girl.
It makes it worse. Just
somehow. Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
He wasn't trying to stay together. He went off to fucking India. If he was trying to stay together, he would have made a home for me to come to in India. I this is too emotionally raw for me to be able to, you know, speak objectively about it. He's fake. And I'm real.
I felt bad for both laughing. Like, I felt bad for laughing while she was crying, but I was like, it's not even ironic. It's the opposite. It's fitting. Like, she's complaining that he's fake. Like,
mm-hmm. But she's real. She says, I'm real. He's fake.
Yeah.
And, oh, God, we can talk about that scene where they're planting in the garden. I mean, that's pretty much just like.
I was so uncomfortable. I was like, bro, you need to back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you're griefing me.
And you knew what that meant?
I just assumed it was, I mean, partly because I had kind of gotten the rhythm of the directors mm-hmm. and stuff and the editors, but I just assumed that was a gamer
phrase. It's sort of like part of the trolling lexicon, I guess.
Yeah, that too. I think I've read enough like dumb Reddit things when I was like, oh, let's read something by somebody I hate today.
Yeah.
That I kind of have heard that before.
I think that's why I avoided this whole Second Life thing. Firstly, I just knew I was probably the wrong personality type to even mess around with it slightly. Ugh. Just because I can get sucked into things.
I'm sure fully the right personality type. Yeah. I would have been. It's like I would have been playing Second Life right before this had mm-hmm. I ever gotten into it. But we didn't. We had dial-up internet, so I could never play games for that extended amount of time. And if you can't play for that long, you can never really like be a part of the community. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like people were spending like what, like that last thing when Aya is about to self delete, I think he's on for like 18, 20 hours or something
right.
like that.
Yeah. And people are just hanging out with him. So
and
the film crew.
Why are you letting this happen? Yeah. This is the other part I am so confused by. This is just like, it starts off with your face is kind of in the shadows and then just more and more. I'm like, I can totally make out your bone structure. I bet I've been in Walnut Creek a lot. I've seen a lot of dudes like this around.
I know.
Pretty
who this
sure.
is.
Yeah, he looks very familiar. But yeah, then just like it's totally revealing. I don't know. His fiance, I'm glad they weren't married, I guess. That's one good thing. They were only fiancés. But that was, what did you think about like, if you were her, how do you think that she handled it? I mean, I feel like he should have just told her his actual revelation, but maybe he did and it just didn't happen on camera.
I feel
something.
Like he didn't tell her, like, because it was hard to tell when.
Oh yeah, this is a trigger warning about sexual abuse. This comes up.
It was hard to tell what the timeline was because his hair looked so different every time they talked, mm-hmm. and his face looked a little bit different every time they talked. So by the time he told everyone that he had been sexually abused
by his father,
but yeah, and uncle.
I think just the father, but it was known. Yeah. It was a known thing that he did it to the girls, but it was not known. And then,
by the time he admitted that, it seemed like it was after he moved out.
Yeah,
after.
It was totally
it
after
like
he
it was
moved out.
Way after,
it took a while. Yeah.
Personally, I thought like I completely understand her. If it was only ever presented as like this is just a video game that I like to play all night, every night. You know what I mean? Like if I was her, I wouldn't want to. There's nothing to quote unquote understand because she's just like, I didn't want to understand it. Like I don't, it's just a game, you know what I mean? But I'm here in real life or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I mean, I felt a little bad after we found out like why it was such a big deal for him, of course. But like, first of all, she didn't know that. And second of all, like, personally, the way that she handled it and was just like, I'm done. Like, I don't care to know about the video game, like whatever. I was very impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, it felt I like almost started crying just being like, as somebody who's been like, you know, trapped in relationships, that for her to just be like, I'm done. I don't care. Because at a certain point, like if it's affecting her life and he's not, you know,
present
at all.
I mean, yeah, if I was with somebody who was doing something that didn't involve me 20 hours a day, I probably wouldn't start doing that thing.
No.
Just to stay with them.
No.
Podcasting?
That's yeah. Oh no, really? How many
not for me.
How many podcasts do you have, George?
I feel like not me, but I feel like it's a kind of, I feel like it's funny because I think we're all in worlds that kind of require a lot of, it takes a lot of your time to just be like a self-promoting creative person. Sure.
That's why I'm not engaged. Hello. That's the one reason.
Do you mean engaged? What, did you, with
there
a
was something was offered to you and then you're like, I have this career I need to do.
I'm a comedian, actually. I have to go.
Yeah, they could have been I bet now people have been doing like comedy on Twitch and stuff. It could have been, you could have just done comedy as an avatar in Second Life. Maybe
cornered that market.
I think you still can.
Ooh,
you could be like,
there's only a million
the avatar comedian.
Do you remember when Bob had the idea to make a show last year, like a virtual reality show?
Tell me how this was gonna work.
I don't know.
We never got past the like idea being presented and everyone being like, that's dumb. No.
In San Francisco, there was this open mic where they would film it with a 360 camera. I'm like, who wants more detail of this open mic? Like where you can see, like how terrible every response
I would
from
like
the audience
to
is.
Not comment on this due to my position.
Well, I'll
in
tell
the
you
360
what.
World or the comedy world. Have you guys ever fucked with Oculus Rift?
No.
Checked out any of this VR stuff. I guess this is like being in the Bay Area. I'm like, I'm from where Linden Labs started.
Right.
I was around all of these tech. Like water cooler, like whatever tech people. I just like watched an episode of Atlanta, which I'm pretty sure is about like my work. Yeah. But I have messed with those things. They're kind of fun, actually. Mm-hmm. And then I have a friend who does like a lot of Oculus Rift based comedy. It's kind of hard to explain. I probably don't want to.
Is it successful? Don't tell Bob.
I don't know if it's successful in the sense of like, I mean, like when he does, he's done it at a few shows and I don't really want to give away what it is, but it's pretty fun. It just turns into this weird thing where it's like ends up being the entire audience pranking one person on stage who has the headset on. It's like that's the premise of it. I don't want to like really give away the details of it, but he figured out a way to like make it interact. Then the entire audience becomes part of the show.
That's cool.
So it's pretty rad in that sense.
So it's not just like humping in an invisible stool.
I feel like if someone could figure out how, well, they are trying to also like. What they're doing with Second Life now is they were trying to like make it compatible with Oculus Rift and like 3D stuff.
That makes sense.
Which I guess makes sense. I mean, like the graphics must be better now than they were in like 2008
or
2009.
Well, it seemed like everyone in the documentary was complaining in like 2010 about the lags and it shutting down, and they were showing that a little bit. So.
Yeah. And well, I guess they were okay with having weird sex where you're just like mashing into each other.
Well, the other weird thing about it is like somebody had to build that room where people are just going there specifically to have sex with each other.
Yeah.
Like, where are they? Did they just build it or do they like watch?
Yeah,
are
where is their documentary?
Yeah, sex dungeon rooms.
I build sex rooms in SL.
Is there like orgy rooms and stuff? Because why is there just two people?
Probably. Well,
like, it's just Second Life. You can do anything
sure that there is.
I feel like there's like also like there's sort of like an adults only area of Second Life and then a kind of a general like a PG-13 area of Second Life.
But I thought you had to be 18 over.
I think you can be 16 is what it is now. And then like if you're you can do it if you're under 16 if it's like part of a university or something like that.
Yeah.
It's very weird. I googled a bunch of shit about this. It's so weird. They had like actual like a diplomatic island where countries set up embassies to represent their country in Second Life. Like the Maldives were the first to do it. I'm like, oh yeah, it has to do with money laundering. Clearly this is like a money laundering operation. I'm like, it was Linden's like the first Bitcoin. I don't know.
Probably. Oh yeah.
And then like Sweden and some other countries joined this diplomatic island. It's very, very strange. And I guess they were still, as of like 2014, that's the last real articles I could really find about it. They were still making like $75 million in revenue.
That's crazy.
Yeah. They laid off a bunch of workers, but I guess they probably just figured out how to, it's like, just like, you know, there's not really an admins, I guess.
Right.
Like if you have like a legal issue or a copyright issue or a DMCA issue, you have to like have a class action lawsuit against a guy called Ray's Kenzo. Like surfboard. Like
when they
dude.
Showed the like little like cutout image of the guy. It was like a little surfing dude, but then they were like, we found him in real life, but he refused to comment. But they showed like a little picture of the guy, and I was like, that is who I was picturing.
Yeah, just
like
a dude in flip-flops with a white like ponytail.
Long, greasy
like a Jay Mascis and like flip-flops, yeah. Oh, and then the names of a few of, I wrote down my favorite names of the lawsuit, because that was like a big joke point of this documentary. There's jokes in here. I feel like there's jokes in here that's just played against a maudlin cello background. But my favorite was the other people in the lawsuit were Munchflower Zayas.
Oh, that was a good one. Munchflower, I saw that one. I was like, that's sexy.
And then Stroker Serpentine, which is basically just like your Snake Plissken, right? This is like Kurt Russell cosplay. So is this kind of like cosplay? Do you guys know cosplay people out here? It feels like similar
to
cosplay.
Kind of, it's like cosplay without having to do anything to your actual body.
Mm-hmm. Do you know people in that world at all?
Not, I mean, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know any furries? I feel like this came up on the sets yesterday,
Not personally.
I don't know.
At least that I know of.
Yeah,
if I do, they have
it to me.
I feel like it's very, like, I feel like I know a lot of people that go to Burning Man, and it kind of overlaps a little bit, maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
Or, like, people that do, like, cuddle puddles and stuff like that. Do you know about the cuddle puddle?
No.
It's just, like, take ecstasy and then just non-sexually, every one of every gender just, like, cuddling together.
Huh.
It sounds neutral. I don't know.
I don't know how you prevent boners, but it doesn't sound like
sound ideal. It's also like a big Silicon Valley thing, I think. It's kind of this like reversion to childhood thing that's happening too.
Oh,
of like
sure.
coloring like books, adult coloring.
An excuse that doesn't have to do with relationships for touching other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, there's a lot of dark stuff in here. I thought it was going to be more of a romp. I was ready for more of like a just like a judging romp.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted.
I mean, I think anything like this where people create a whole new universe and then make it bad is gonna be dark as hell.
Could there have been like a utopian way to do Second Life? I feel like there could have been. You could have just tried to have a commune in Second Life. People get like jobs in Second Life, which doesn't make any sense to me. Like, Asmodee Falcone was like trying to hire people. I'm like, you're making like a penny an hour, like in real dollars?
In real time?
Yeah, I don't understand. Well, there's like this really famous, I guess, lady named Anshe Chung who like did land development deals all over Second Life and became like a millionaire in real life.
Ooh. That's crazy.
Yeah. And like, she's like sort of like the most famous person. Like, I think that she got a lot of, it was like a Bitcoin thing in like 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. It was like, basically you heard this one success story about Second Life, someone like who became like the Donald Trump of Second Life. And then like, everyone's just like, their membership just shot up because people were like, oh, I can just find a way to like, you know, gold rush this thing.
Right.
I mean, it was made by a corporation, so I don't think there was like ever an intention to like really, but it's also like a very Bay Area thing to be like kind of like techno utopia, you know, like we're going to just start everything from scratch. I'm like, this always goes badly. Every time you try to start things from scratch, there's like some assholes in there.
Mm-hmm,
that's
right.
Just always the way it goes.
Yeah.
As someone who runs a comedy festival, you know. No, I mean, I feel like that was like a key mistake, this whole thing, but like it wouldn't have lasted as long as it did if there wasn't this like kind of greed element, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe it would have lasted as long, but people need to have like a goal and not just like be happy all the time.
I guess. I feel like a huge part of the reason that it's even still around or that it got ever so popular is just because you can, because of the whole element of like being this other person that doesn't have to look anything like you or be inhibited by your like, you know, social anxieties or whatever. You could like make friends and do and fly.
But you still have to talk.
I don't think you have to. I mean, you could chat.
Uh-huh.
Like they have like a little chat.
Oh yeah.
Thing.
That's right.
I mean, I'm sort of sad that AIM shut down. Like, that was my favorite way to communicate for a long time. Like,
back
I like
in the
instant
day,
messaging.
I used to chat. I used to have GChat and AIM and all the...
You just get on and then just fucking just chat.
And now you're blocking people on Twitter for spoiling documentaries.
Yeah.
I don't know. Does just being online just suck? Or like regular life?
I used to really like message boards.
I remember, like, Tom, heavy into message boards.
The other day, he had a message board that I used to be on all the time. Before that, it was like TC Punk for like Twin Cities Punk.
Do you ever do Trouble Man message board? Were you around for the Trouble Man message board?
No.
Do you remember that label, like Trouble Man Records? That was the late '90s. I was on that board a lot. I guess. I don't know. Maybe I was a troll and I didn't know it. I didn't know like when I was. I've done a lot of things. I'm like, I don't know if I was a troll or not. I think I was like a lot of people. Like you didn't have the vocabulary for what it was then.
Yeah.
If you just try to stir shit up, like I was on this weird like record trading board and I basically made up like a record. I'm like, everyone's just talking about the most obscure record they had. I'm like, I have a 1-inch thick Joy Division record that is hollow and has one of those games inside of it, like those water games that has a little jet. And I'm just like, and it just made the price exorbitant. So I'm like, if someone actually calls me on this, I'll just make it. Like I'll have them like, just make one and sell it. I'm like, I'll bootleg this Joy Division record that's like a water game. So
that's so freaking funny.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, I suppose that's trolling, but like, I don't always think trolling's bad. Like that's like a practical joke that's pretty freaking funny.
I feel like practical jokes and trolling, like when did it become, is it only bad if it's just is toxically masculine and if you can somehow take that part out of it, then it's just like fun performance art.
What you're saying is I've never trolled anyone.
Well, I guess for me, I have an out. I hope. No, I don't know if I do. But I mean, like, yeah, like clearly you can just run into Second Life and suicide bomb people. That's pretty gnarly. I don't know.
It seemed like it was just causing glitches or something that like people weren't actually like, or their characters weren't actually dying or anything.
Well, it was clearly a call for help that everyone was seeing.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a safer call for help than, but he, yeah.
And then they put him on a 24-hour hold and he was fine.
That was it. Just 24 hours. He's like trying to get out and he can't. I mean,
he's like, I was hoping for a week.
Yeah.
But then he scheduled the deletion. He did it.
Is there a virtual community that like works at all? Like this also came out after The Matrix. I'm sure he was like thought about that as well. I don't know. There's like virtual worlds are like kind of like, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of curious. Yeah, I'll hear what you got to say. If you got a virtual bridge to sell me, I'll listen. But I don't know. Is there like, are we not? Maybe we just need to like, this is kind of like my whole critique of Burning Man too. I'm like, spend the energy on just like registering people to vote and do stuff in your actual community instead of just like going to this fantasy world, which is like, I've never been to Burning Man. I'm sure I have like someone is going to listen and be like,
fair,
oh man, you're not like.
You've definitely created like alternative communities for yourself and been part of alternative communities.
I feel like they were just.
Yeah, they were just a little more integrated with society than like Burning Man or Second Life or.
You're saying like
ICP
so?
Fest.
Yeah. So like it's like I think that's like the kind of part of me that likes the idea of utopias. Like I love cult movies. Like I like. Did you guys watch Wild Wild Country?
Mm-mm. No, I haven't seen it yet.
But it's like just a basically you know like a utopia that goes wrong. Clearly, very wrong from the beginning. You gotta watch it. Okay. But
I mean, my favorite genre is like post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
So. I'm the opposite of you is what I'm saying.
Oh, dystopian. Yeah. Right. No, I mean, I like dystopian like TV shows and like I was like, even I don't know how many people watch 12 Monkeys. I started watching that, but you know, I guess being like kind of weirdly optimistically Californian, I'm like, maybe they'll get it right sometime. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
do you think it's the sun that does that too? Or
I don't know. Could be a lot of things. I also went to Catholic school, which weirdly you think would be more dystopian, but it kind of makes you think like you can like work towards something maybe.
Really?
I don't know.
You must have gone to a different one than I went to.
Did you go to Catholic school?
Uh-huh.
All girls?
No.
Okay, I went to an all boys. That might have been part of it.
Oh, yeah. There was boys at mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was also an altar girl.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't really grow up with the actual religion part of it. I just ended up going to this, like, Catholic school that was like supposed to help you get into college or whatever. So I was just like, I know this is all weird. Like I'm going to get in a lot of arguments with a lot of people here, which did happen. But I don't know why I think that has to do with utopia.
By arguments, you mean real life trolling?
Real life trolling. I trolled this.
First life trolling.
Some abortion discussion that was happening in a church on Sunday. I'm like, I didn't grow up with this, so I think there's a lot of problems with what you're saying. So I'm just like, well, okay, you're entitled to your opinion. Okay, I'm like, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I guess maybe is because I would like this to be something that I could get into, but I just know that it's going to drive, I'm going to be, if I ever got into this, it just would be like the end of me. Because I remember chat rooms.
You want to get into Second Life? Is that what you're
saying? I would like to, I like the idea of like just building shit, you know, that sounds like fun. Yeah. I guess you could just do that.
When I was a kid, my parents had this like computer program that was for designing houses. It was not a game.
Yeah.
It was a design program. Yeah. But I would build houses on there all the time. It was fun.
Yeah.
You don't do anything with it. You don't have people. You can't have it. You just build a house.
Yeah.
So I feel like I could have been rich.
Yeah. You could have been rich in Second Life.
Or in real life, you could have become an architect.
No, I could have. No, instead, I did nothing.
Stuck here with us. Dumb First Life.
Maybe we should be making money on the internet. Like, like, what are we doing right now?
Right.
It's like an afternoon on a weekday. I'm like, I'm going to come over and record shit. I'm like, this isn't going to make money.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
That was my husband coming down to where my computer is and, you know, realizing that I'm on, I guess, a private phone call or whatever activity on the computer. Well, he's I guess old-fashioned kind of person and just has never liked the idea of the internet in general. Thinks it's evil. He thinks that's why it's called the web, because like, you know, like an insect, you get stuck in it. And like a spider's web.
She had like the dead eyes for one, and then the way that she talked about the internet and her real life just seemed so out of it. She seemed like naive, and she seemed
Seem naive, I guess. Yeah. But like, yeah, like her thing, like I gotta fucking walk like a loser. Yeah. That was hilarious.
I got poor but person.
Also, like, do you guys have divorced families? Growing up, like your parents were divorced.
My parents. My grandparents in
Minnesota or something.
Oh no, I mean, okay, because that scene
we don't do that here. No, George.
No.
Like, have you had that experience? Because I've had this experience of like when a potential stepdad comes to hang out and is like, "Let's play a board game." Like the word that scene with Steve with Berblinger.
Yeah,
Steve just like, oh, I got Park Place or whatever.
Just
like
tell the daughter's just like, get the fuck out of my house.
Oh my god, I gotta go play with some penguins. It's much more innocent.
Well, that's because you can't drink with kids, and it's like the social lubricant.
Yeah, but that guy was a loser. The daughter was right.
Totally.
Oh man, I also like when they're going through just before we get to like the garden fight, just like her not wanting to throw her ex-husband stuff into the trash. Completely reasonable, I feel like. as someone who is a hoarder, I'm like, I need all those receipts from the 80s.
Okay, I just have to say, I'm the only not hoarder in this room right now. So I'm just going to step out and let you two talk about hoarding.
How do you do that? How do you like leave things behind? How do you not
assign real value to everything that you own.
I do assign real value. Even old boxes have feelings. I get that. Well,
then you're a hoarder, bitch.
Well, somehow I overcome it. I think it was from having bed bugs 3 times.
That'll do it. I think my sentimentality goes out the window. I thought I had bed bugs. Yeah. It turned out I didn't, but I still left my apartment for 5 days, hoping that...
how you spread it. God.
No. It was, to be clear, they were not bed bugs. I found out what they were.
Carpet beetles.
And they're called tropical rat mites.
Oh, you have the fancy disease.
I've never had bed bugs. No, I had tropical rat mites.
What if there was a bed bug infestation in Second Life? I think you could just create bed bugs. We should just
do that. That would be the ultimate troll.
That would be griefing. Grief the fucking bed bugs into Second Life. We create like fucking 3-foot bed bugs, like Ant-Man bed bugs.
And they just like self-replicate all the way through all the house.
I wanted beach balls, not bed bugs.
I caught them from one of the sex rooms.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Digital scabies. I need to buy skin now. I need new skin.
That's what the skin was for.
That's exactly for the bed bug infestation that comes in. Oh my God. Well, I think that's all there is to say about this movie. Yeah. I hope.
Well, at least we came up with a plan for how to destroy Second Life.
Bed bugs.
Yeah,
bed
but bugs. To be clear, I did not have them, and you did.
Are you shaming me now?
No, not shaming. I got
bed bugs by doing social work.
I guess.
Where'd you get your tropical rat mite?
Probably a pigeon. Some Oakland pigeon just died in my basement.
Yeah, that's
like they come from birds too. I'm like, okay, no more rats. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything you guys want to plug? As this is your first time on our show, and like my first time in Minneapolis doing comedy with you guys. Do you want to plug a festival or anything, or just your shows? Or
no, I'm just kidding. I'll plug about the 10,000 Laughs Festival. It's here in the Twin Cities, probably just Minneapolis. It's October 18th through the 20th this year. We're having headliners such as Rory Scovel, and many other very funny people. Submissions close in like 2 days, so this is probably too late for that. But
too late.
You can attend, certainly.
Yeah.
Totes.
Is the St. Paul have no venues? Is that the thing?
Well, I think
I haven't understood what is going on.
St. Paul does really have venues. Okay. They do have venues.
They nobody wants to go there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's harder to get people to come out to a show in St. Paul.
This is more of a fraternal twins kind of town. There's definitely some bias going on.
There is. Well, just at St. Paul at like 6 p.m., there's like no people anywhere and everything's closed. So like there's no point in going there.
Yeah. Let's see. We should also plug Murder Room and Pussy Control. Murder Room's every Wednesday starting again in September in Dinky Town. That's in Minneapolis. And then Pussy Control's every second Thursday of the month in Minneapolis at the Corner Bar in the basement of the Comedy Corner Underground. So if you're coming through town, come watch it or submit to one of us. I think I'm thinking about taking a trip to LA the first week in December. Danielle said I could stay on our couch. So.
Oh, I have a show that should be the first week of December. So you guys, both of you? I'll be here watching Raina's dogs.
Yeah, she's also my dog sitter, so we can't leave town at the same time or they would die.
Watching her dogs as of now, possibly just dog possibly by just December. Dog
by He's real old. It's okay.
Well, I hope he can live. And after Second Life.
Oh, maybe you'll make a Second Life.
Yeah,
thing.
Make Rafi a Second Life.
Make him
Second
an Life avatar. Dog. An arfatar, as it were.
Oh!
I think I have to quit comedy, guys.
That's it.
I'll send you your paper.
It's a wrap.
All right. And I did it here in the Twin Cities. I quit comedy. Thank you, Raina May. Thank you, Shelley
Thank
Paul.
You.
Thank you, Jarg.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about SupDoc at supdocpodcast.com. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes.
Our theme song was written by David Siegel, and our show was engineered by Will Scovel.
If you want us to cover a doc, have suggestions for guests, or you just want to reach out, please email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.